Hey everybody, Simon Ratner here. Welcome to the checkout. Before we bring you our show, we have an announcement to make.
Où sont partis les temps sereins?
WBGO's The Checkout presents a night of exploring the edge of jazz with two bands at New Blue in New York City. I hope you'll join us for a night featuring the French-American jazz hip-hop ensemble Thiefs, followed by a performance by jazz synth master Big Yuki. I will also be there spinning some records. This all night of music begins Friday, November 2nd at 9 p.m. at 151 New Blue. WBGO will be there to capture this performance, and we hope you'll be there too. Tickets and more information at checkoutjazz.org, and you can listen to our podcast with Thiefs and Big Yuki too. From guitar legend Philip Catherine to the pianist Folkel Otterwanger, Jazz Middelheim in Belgium passes the torch of European greatness here on The Checkout. When celebrating jazz overseas, great talent is often underappreciated, or even worse, goes unnoticed in the United States. On today's show, The Checkout spotlights two of its hidden stars. First, a legendary guitarist who once collaborated with Chet Baker, Dexter Gordon, and Charles Mingus. If you don't know Philip Catherine's work, well, he's produced no less than 22 outstanding recordings under his own name. Music that was recently reissued in an excellent box set, Philip Catherine selected works from 1974 to 1982. We showcase some of those fine recordings and speak to the guitarist about his most important achievement as a bandleader, his recording September Man, originally released in 1974. Then we introduce you to Folkel Otterwanger, the composer in residence of the city of Ghent in Belgium. He leads his band, De Berengeren. On his recent recording, Dugout Skyscrapers, which is basically a traditional piano trio, he also adopts some experimental techniques. Otterwanger places a pedal and filters inside of his prepared piano to create what you're hearing now, an otherworldly soundscape. We now take you to our conversations with guitar legend Philip Catherine and the pianist Folkel Otterwanger on stage in front of a live audience at Jazz Middelheim in Antwerp, Belgium. Thank you for checking in. I'm Simon Ratner, host of The Checkout from WBGO, New York City's jazz public radio station. Oftentimes, the U.S., as a default position, likes to just concentrate on its own artists. We aren't often allowed to give shine and promote the amazing talent that flourishes all over the world. And the man that's sitting next to me right now, after listening to his music all morning, I have to just say, it's been kind of a revelation for me. Please give a warm welcome at Jazz Middelheim, 37th edition, to Philip Catherine. So since you were born in England, actually, and then moved to Brussels at a very young age, should I call you Philip or Philippe?
Philip.
Philip.
Yes.
You prefer Philip.
Yeah, because I'm born in London with an English spelling of my Philip, P-H-I-L-I-P.
Okay.
Yeah, but you can call me whatever you want anyway. You can call me Günther or...
Les gens qui voient de travers pensent que les bancs verts qu'on voit sur les trottoirs.
Let's take our audience immediately to Brussels, when you were living there, when you were 11 years old.
Mais c'est une absurdité, car à la vérité, ils sont là, c'est notoire, pour accueillir quelque temps les amours débutants, les amoureux qui se bécotent sur les bancs publics, bancs publics, bancs publics, en se foutant pas mal du regard oblique des passants honnêtes, les amoureux qui se bécotent sur les bancs publics, bancs publics, bancs publics, en se disant des je t'aime pathétiques, ont des petites gueules bien sympathiques.
Georges Brassens.
Yeah, Georges Brassens, yeah.
Les amoureux des bancs publics. I hope I didn't butcher that, but apologies.
It's a very nice song. And the first time I heard a guitar was this artist, who's not especially a guitar player, but he plays guitar and he sings. I had never heard that instrument when I was 14. So that's why I bought a guitar, listening to Georges Brassens, and I'm very grateful to Georges for that, and for his music, his melodies, and his the way he sings, and the beautiful words he has also.
He is a poet.
Yeah, he's a poet.
Almost more than a musician in some cases.
Yeah, you can say that, but he's so musical at the same time. There's something very tricky about Georges Brassens, is his timing in the phrasing. It's not obvious, and it's very beautiful. I listen to that slowly also, you know, how speed, and he's got a very special way of singing.
And so I think our audience begs the question, were you a romantic child at 11 years old? Were you dreaming of having makeout sessions on public benches?
No, I don't know. I don't think so, but it's a very nice question. I'm going to think about it a little more.
All right. Yeah. Let's move on to another important recording from your youth, also in Brussels, just moving ahead a few years later. Clifford Brown, yeah. Max Roach, Quintet, 1954.
Yeah, and the brother of Bud Powell on piano.
Harold Land.
Harold Land, yeah.
George Morrow, Richie Powell.
Yeah.
So tell me, you've actually tried to emulate your guitar tone, your melodic inventiveness after horn players, specifically...
I've been listening quite a lot to horn players, like Clifford Brown, mainly in this particular tune. I remember I was very young when I heard that, and I was amazed by the beauty of his solo, you know. I listened a lot to trumpet players, that's true, and also to piano players. I mean, the musicians who phrase well, which doesn't exclude I was listening to guitar players as well, of course. But in these years, in the early 60s, end of 50s and beginning of the 60s, the main jazz musicians were not guitar players. I mean, it was mostly, I was listening to jazz messengers a lot, the modern jazz quartet with Jackson, and I was listening also to
Miles Davis.
Yeah, Miles Davis came just a little later with the record Milestones. And then after discovering Milestones, I discovered for once he just recorded a few years before that, like relaxing, working, cooking. But it's always with Red Garland, Paul Chambers, Philly Joe, and John Coltrane.
So did you try to play the Clifford Brown solo on your guitar?
Yeah, I tried a long time and I still haven't succeeded. It's a lot of work.
What is most frustrating about trying to do what a trumpet can do with the brass instrument and just the sound it can make and being a guitarist? Obviously, you're always at the odds and limitations of the instrument you play.
Yeah, but let's say I do that for my pleasure and for the pleasure of playing beautiful notes And I know I cannot reproduce that on stage. It's too fast. Most of them, like Orfe was also in the Jazz Messengers. Don Albert, who was very fantastic when he was 17. But it was a discovery of that vocabulary, you know, which was interesting for me. And the phrasing. I like very much the phrasing of all these trumpet players, and Miles, especially Miles, I would say, yeah.
So now we've heard a little of some other people's music. I think it's time that we listen to some Philip Catherine. Round of applause, Philip Catherine. I feel like it was almost at this moment, like, maybe I'm being presumptuous, but you have a lot of confidence, you know, in your playing right there. It's almost like in this tribute to Miles Davis, which is on the recording Guitars, which just actually came out on this amazing box set that I highly recommend everyone to get, the selected works from 1974 to 1982. Who is on this recording then?
Now what we just heard is on my record Guitars, and we're going to hear tonight the bass player and the drummer, which you just heard on this tune called We'll Find a Way, which is a composition of John Lee, by the way, which you just heard.
So tell me, what was your mindset as your evolution in your guitar playing at this moment?
Well, I just came back to Miles Davis 1 second, not only as a trumpet player, but as a band leader for small ensembles like quintets. He had a way of making a quintet sound unbelievable and having everybody play wonderfully. So when I was buying records of Miles Davis, it was not especially to listen to Miles, but I was listening to, for instance, Red Garland, I was listening to Coltrane, I was listening to Paul Chambers.
Tony Williams,
that was a little later, yeah, but it was Philly Joe at that time, and then he came to Tony Williams, that was with other quintet, he had a wonderful quintet with Wayne Shorter and Herbie Hancock and Ron Carter. So Miles Davis was for me not only a trumpet player, but somebody who knew how to make people play very well around. And I think it was, in French, it's somebody who had authority without being autoritaire. You know, he wasn't a control freak, I think, but he would direct people without directing them.
Just to throw our American audiences a bone, going to go back to some of your collaborations with the legends that everyone from the world knows with this next recording we're going to share with you. It blows my mind, Philip, that
you're playing that music around the same time we just heard that previous recording.
Yeah, it was really at 1 or 2 months space, you know. And I was wondering when I was recording with Dexter, which it was, it, I had a beautiful time, but I was wondering, what the hell am I doing here? You know, because I was playing some other kind of music. But that was a thought which I'm not saying that anymore today, but I was like surprised, why am I playing with Dexter and Neil Sanni and Billy Higgins? You know, I'm doing this thing with John Lee and Jerry Brown, you know. He was like very like schizophrenic.
And what's so you know, unique about your guitar tone, especially on that recording, is yes, it's traditional, but it has enough effects that you almost sound like you're underwater or something.
Yeah, I was using I must say it's not only me, it's also the pedal I was using. It was a German label, I forgot the name of the label, and it was called Rotor Sound. Rotor, R-O-T-O-R. But I mean, the main things, when I was listening to that, I'm so grateful that I played with Dexter. I mean, that's unbelievable. And also with that rhythm section with Neil Sanni or Steve Peterson, with who I was playing for about 20 years also, and the beautiful Billy Higgins on drums. And it's the first, or maybe the only record of Dexter without a piano player. I'm doing the piano player role there.
Dexter Gordon Quartet, Something Different from 1975, again with our very own Philip Catherine, with Billy Higgins and Niels Peterson. When Sonny Gets Blue. Let me just stay on Dexter for a second, because, you know, obviously he's known for his melodic invention. What did you learn from Dexter for playing with him?
Well, he plays laid back. First time I played with him was only one tune, that was 3 years. No, that was in 64. He has this way of playing behind the beat and always there. And I noticed that in my solo we just heard that with Dexter, I'm playing also laid back. And the influence was immediate.
Let's move on to another absolutely fascinating recording. This kind of really blew my mind. Goodbye Park by Hat by the legendary Charles Mingus. One of the only times that I can think of where he had two guitarists, if he never really even focused on the guitar, period, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So in 1977, you spent how many hours with Charles Mingus?
2 full days. And after the recording, like at least 1 hour, maybe more, just speaking together after the recording.
Do you have any Charles Mingus stories for us?
Well, I don't have a very particular ones. I remember what Charlie Mariano, who was playing with Charlie Mariano, Charlie Mingus, told me one day that, you know, he was interviewed at the radio and when he had to play in a town, you know, and he arrives in a town and he gets interviewed like I'm getting interviewed now, and he would start saying bad things about the police station. So when he arrived in the jazz club, of course the police was there, you know, all the musicians had to go down the wall, how do you say that, you know, to hands up and all that. And of course he was kind of provoking that, you know. That's what Charlie told me anyway, I don't know.
We're gonna get to the music that you're going to be presenting, the reason why you are here, the reunion band. Arguably your most famous, greatest work as an artist, September Man. Do you look at that recording the same way? Do you recognize that for yourself?
Well, I think it's absolutely a great record, and I'm very grateful to have the chance to play with these musicians at that time. It was in 1974, and it was the day of the resignation of Richard Nixon, by the way. Yeah, it was a great, I worked with Palo Mickelborg to prepare this album, and Palo had wrote many, 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 many tunes, you know, and we just selected few of them that he wrote, and John Lee composed a wonderful tune called 1974, and I proposed three of my compositions also. But I think it's a wonderful record, and I would like to say that it's a reunion band in the sense that we only played once together, all of us. That was in 74 for the record, and this is our first concert. So it's really the lesson of patience, you know. To be patient after we recorded in 74. So how many years is that now? 44? Well,
yes,
I guess so, something exactly. Like that. So we waited 44 years to play together, you know. Yeah.
And rest in peace, Charlie Mariano, who
yeah,
could not be
absolutely,
here.
Absolutely.
Who left us in 2009. But this composition is just stellar. In fact, I'm just going to go to maybe a version of this tune that even Philip Catherine was not familiar with. It's from the Mary Halverson Septet Illusionary Sea from 2013. Do you have any comments about that recording? What did you think?
I want to hear the whole tune now. I'm very curious. I'm very curious. I'm very honored too.
Please, a warm round of applause for Philip Catherine, one of the greats here in Belgium, to the level of Toots Thielemans and some of your other great jazz musicians. And it gives me a great honor to celebrate him here at Jazz Middleham. Thank
you. Thank you, Simon.
Nerem, which is Miriam backwards, perhaps Philip Catherine's most famous composition from his album September Man, recorded in 1974, featuring Charlie Mariano, Jasper Van Toff, John Lee, and Jerry Brown. This band would actually reunite on stage for the first time in 44 years last summer at Jazz Middelheim to perform this repertoire. Coming up next, we introduce a new pianist and composer hitting the jazz scene in Europe today. His name is Volker Otterwanger, and his band is called De Beren Geren, a piano trio incorporating some experimental modern techniques. We'll learn about that next. We have part two of our talk today with another musician. Yes, there's a part two with a young, emerging Dutch-Belgian talent, amazing pianist with an amazing trio. Please welcome Volker Otterwanger.
Thank you.
You're the composer in residence in Ghent. That is true.
Yeah. So-called city composer, and they do that every 2 years. They have a music composer, and then they have a poet for 2 years.
Well, let's get straight into your trio recording that you're going to be showcasing here, and I'm going to allow you to pronounce that word, or words, I should say.
Of the band?
Yes.
I mean, the Beren Gieren. The Beren Gieren.
And I understand the translation is the bear's growl.
Yeah, the bear's growl or the bear's howl. It also means to laugh out loud. It means to run. It means a lot of things. But actually, the first idea came up in my head with two animals, actually. You have bears and you have vultures. So the gieren also means vultures. It means a lot of things.
Hip-hop too, like this is like the fourth time I've heard it, and it really reminds me of what's going on in the, you know, like Chris Dave deconstruction of beats, finding the polyrhythms within the polyrhythms within the polyrhythms. Mm-hmm. Slowing the music down. Talk to me about that tune.
Well, things always never happen alone. There are always streams going on at the same time all around the world. I think
I feel like you're adding to that vocabulary in very interesting ways. What are you doing to emit these sounds?
I don't feel I'm really advanced in the prepare technique, like with John Cage, putting things in the strings. Pretty random the way I do it. Throw something inside. Maybe what makes it a little bit different is, although I see it happening around a lot too, but is putting a microphone in the soundboard, contact microphone, and then having some guitar effects on it. And that forces me also to play less, because if you have these effects and play as much as I usually do or as I did before, that it becomes really a mess. So it really teaches me how to play less as well. So then even if you have a good sound and you play one chord a minute, then it has an impact. I think that's what we're looking for with the band as well, one of the things.
in a weird way, in the evolution of this music, we're kind of going back to the basics in a certain way. It's like a deconstructionist getting to the root of the pure sound itself.
And also becomes more, maybe more tribal in a way, you know, more basic rhythm, one chord. I think what you see a lot is more trance-like music.
Let's move on to another piece of music that you picked out for us. Who else is in this trio?
There's Lieven van P, bass player, and Simon Segers.
Considerably a little more notes this time.
Yeah, indeed. That's nice. It's fun. That's the opposite of what I just said.
Let's talk more about just the evolution of what I see as the jazz trio, especially as this piece of music, Weight of an Image, really reminded me personally of the Bad Plus. Definitely the Bad Plus in the sense that there's just different passages, and they transition very elegantly. Yeah. So tell me, what are then your trio influences? Like, what are you?
It's a whole brew of music we listen to, and then eventually there's the music we make. It's not like this trio makes this kind of music, let's do it as well, or something. It's not like that. Yeah.
And so how much of this music do you write out beforehand, and how much do you give to the other players?
I write the melodies and the bass riffs and the chord progressions, and then I go to the band and then we try them out and we look for the right atmosphere and for the
vibe is really important.
The vibe is really important, and sometimes I have a finished structure, but most of the times we search for the structure together.
What does that mean, the weight of an image? Was there an image that you saw that had a lot of weighed heavily on your shoulders?
It happens a lot in our titles. You have a paradox, you know, like an image has no weight, but it can be very heavy, and it can be very influential. If you have an image about something or an expectation about something, it can decide a lot about how is it going to be. You know, it's a preconceived ideas about something. For example, we're going to play at a festival in the south of France, and it's, oh, I have these images, and oh, it's going to be so nice, sunny, and the beach, and a nice audience, and a beautiful old building from the 19th century or something. But then we get there, and it's a new, ugly building, and it's backstage waiting, and the concert didn't go really well, and I don't know. Because if you have an expectation, the mind somehow tends to really want to be like the expectation is. But
we're going to wrap things up with Focal here and the final piece of music. Are you there yet? Are you in the space? I know I am here at Jazz Middelheim. What is that composition, and please translate it in English?
It's the Belofte Treurwals, and it means the promise morning waltz. Morning, like sad waltz. But in Dutch, you can create new words, but you know, you add them together. So it's again this contrast or contradiction in one title. You have the promise and you have the happiness and something nice, but then you have also the sadness. So it sounds nice in Dutch, I think.
Please applaud and thank Focal for joining us here.
Yes. Thank you. Bye.
Berengeren, that's spelled D-E-B-E-R-E-N-G-I-E-R-E-N, a piano trio featuring Focal Otterwanger. We're listening to music from his album Dugout Skyscrapers, and we spoke to the pianist from Jazz Middelheim 2018 in Antwerp, Belgium. If you like this show, make sure to share it with your friends. We are a podcast. Get it on iTunes and Stitcher. While you're there, give the show a positive review while you're at it. And definitely make sure to follow us on social media, on our Facebook page, The Checkout from WBGO, our Twitter handle, @CheckoutJazz, produced at WBGO 88.3 FM in Newark. A special thanks to all the staff and personnel at Jazz Middelheim for making this show possible. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Thanks for checking us out.